Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
I'm going to start on faith. Now, the cool thing about faith is that this principle and understanding faith will work in any area of Scripture. So anything, I'll put it to you like this. The operation of faith is general. So how you function and operate in your faith is pretty much the same across the board. The substance of your individual faith has to come from the Scriptures on that subject. So in other words, I'll put it to you like this. You cannot read Scriptures on walking in love and receive your needs met, your financial needs met, we'll say. Does that make sense? In other words, you can feed on Scriptures on how God is your defense and not read about Scriptures on marriage, and you're not going to get, you can't read on God as your defense and get faith for marriage. You have to read the Scriptures on marriage for faith in that area. All Scripture gives you faith. All of it. All of it. The faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So all Scripture gives you faith, but if you want faith for a specific area, you have to read the Scriptures on that area. Does that make sense? Now, faith is a whole lot bigger than what a lot of people think. You know, most people think, oh, you're a person of faith. And they think that means you believe in this unseen force out in the world. You know, and they talk about there are many faiths. Actually, there's only one. And that's God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. There's only one true faith. The rest are demons. They're functions of demons. They're false religions, different things like that. They're not many ways to God. I mean, God said it many times in the Old Testament. Jesus said it many times in the New Testament. Paul said it in the New Testament. Peter said it in the New Testament. There's only one God and Father of us all, and only one Son, Jesus Christ. So there are not many faiths. Now, people can choose to put their natural will and belief just from their own heart into something that they shouldn't, and they'll be sorely disappointed in the long run. So anyway, faith is what we're going to talk about. So let's pray, and we'll learn something here about Abraham. Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for our facility. We thank you for all the good things you're doing in our lives. Lord, most of all tonight, we thank you for this word, this precious word of yours that you gave to us, this letter written to us. Lord, your words bring light, they bring understanding, they transform the way we think, they give us eyesight into things that are unseen in order to operate and function in victory in this life. And so, Lord, we thank you for those words. We thank you for your Scriptures. We reverence your Scriptures, Lord. Lord, you said in the Old Testament and Psalms that you exalt your word above your own name. So we magnify this word, Lord, because it is you. It is Christ. It is the Word of God, and so we thank you for it. We know that as we go to the Word, Lord, that we only understand it by the understanding that the Holy Spirit brings. So Holy Spirit, teach us, lead us, and guide us into all truth. I ask you for boldness and utterance to speak as I ought to speak tonight, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody that agreed said, amen. Okay, so let's go to Romans 4, and I'm gonna read a bunch in the Amplified. And I'm going to read through this passage, and then we'll go back through it, and we're going to talk about faith. Now, faith is much understood, or much misunderstood, and the only way you're going to understand things about God and about His subjects is to listen to Him on the subject, okay? So in other words, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible, hands down. There is not a better commentary. There are many commentaries and many people that actually speak against what Jesus said. It's interesting to me because they claim they're theologians. They claim they're... Now, it's kind of a funny statement anyway, the idea of a theologian. Like you're going to study God and figure Him out, you know what I mean? Without His help or something like that. But the idea of understanding God from the Scriptures, you have to go to the Scriptures and you have to take it at face value. Now, most Christians have no problem doing this in the area of salvation. In other words, being born again. But beyond that point, they fall apart at the seams. And really, because a lot of people are taught to fall apart at the seams. Well, we just don't know why. Well, we just don't know this. We don't know that. They're not taught the principle of, they're taught the principle of faith in the area of going in other words, of accessing into the kingdom of God. But beyond that, well, we don't know what's going to happen. But God didn't leave us in that position. He didn't leave us in that place of we just don't know what's going to happen. He gave us instruction for every area of our lives. And there's an answer for every situation you're in. Did you know that? Every single one. People say, well, you know, it doesn't say whether I'm supposed to buy this house or that house in the Bible. No, but you have the Holy Spirit in you. And He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. He'll have you skip over the lemon of a vehicle and buy the good one. Does that make sense? So there's always an answer there. So let's read this. Romans 4:17. So we're talking about faith. It says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. This is what the Lord told Abraham. I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith. Boy, that's a huge statement right there. He hoped in faith. I can't wait to get into this. That he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised, so numberless shall your descendants be. And that's in Genesis 15:15, that promise was made. Verse 19, he did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old. How many know? That's about it. Okay, you know, 100 years, that's pretty good. He lived a little while longer, but anyway, he was about 100 years old when he considered, so he didn't weaken in faith. He knows he's as good as dead. So where's his hope? You know, it's easy for a 20-year-old to go, yeah, I'm going to have a lot of kids. It's a little more difficult for a 100-year-old to see how. The hope is not in the natural, okay? All right, it's not there. He's hoping in faith. He's hoping in faith. All right. So he says this he didn't let that weaken his faith, and he didn't let the barrenness of Sarah or the deadness of her womb to weaken his faith. In other words, you guys know the story of Abraham and Sarah. Sarah's womb was dead when she was young, and now she's older. She's already gone through the change of life. You know what I mean? I mean, the days of having kids are long over. And he's not moved by that. Because God said, this is going to be good. Because this is where faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is what gives you the ability to stand at the Red Sea and go, split. Split. Get out of the way. But you can't say that. God said, I can say it. I can say it. It doesn't make sense to the natural, but your heart will go, yeah, yeah, I can do that. I believe that, you know. Verse 20, no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly questioned concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Verse 21, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word. That is faith. How do you know you're going to succeed? I'm fully satisfied that God's able to keep his word. Yeah, but it doesn't look like it. I know, we're all as good as dead. But God said it would happen, therefore it's happening. My job is to hope in faith. My job is to expect in what I do not see until I dream. But into the scene, and then once I see it, I don't got to hope for it anymore. Once it's in my possession, I don't have to have faith anymore. I got it. We walk by faith, not by sight. Once sight has come, all right, I'll make it as simple as I can. What's your dog's name? Anybody got a dog here? Nobody has a dog here? Tessa, that's right. I've seen pictures of your dog on Facebook. Tessa, if Tessa is not seen, because Tessa's running around through 20 acres of land, and Shane stands out on the porch and says, Tessa, come, or whatever you say. Come on, Tessa. He doesn't see Tessa, but he keeps calling, and eventually he sees Tessa coming. Do you have to call for Tessa once the dog's there? You don't look at the dog and go, come on, Tessa, hurry up. Let's go. Where are you at? Let's go. No, you quit calling. Your faith came to sight. Your faith came to sight. You called for it. And that's what Abraham did. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham. We'll get into this. It's really interesting. Verse 22. That is why his faith was credited to him as righteousness, right standing with God. Okay, back up to verse 17. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God, whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. That's what the Amplified says. In the New King James, it says he calls those things that be not as though they were. I have to say something that is not as though it were until I see it as it are. I know that's bad English. Okay? In other words, faith takes God's word and agrees in conversation with him and decrees it over your life according to the promise, and it doesn't stop until it sees what the promise is. Make sense? Okay, you did it in salvation. It's whoever shall believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord will be saved. So you believe and then you say, and what takes place? You're born again. Okay? It changed your heart. It was the same principle. So here we see that Abraham receives a promise from God. God told Abram, now think about this, who was fatherless, to change his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. Now, he is calling things that don't exist as though they do. Now that, most people are like, you're a liar. No, I'm not lying if God said it. He can't lie. I'm just agreeing with him. And this is faith. Faith goes, what'd you say, Lord? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what I'm supposed to have. Oh, it'll be as heaven on earth for me. Okay, yeah, that's what I have then. I have heaven on earth. And that was for me, that was a direct word to me. I was going through a time, it was a tough time. Then I prayed about it, and the Lord said, if you quit, you'll make heaven. In other words, I'm not going to hell. I was thankful he said that to me. But he said, if you stay, you'll make heaven a part of earth. Well, that's my, until I see that, what do I say? Heaven on earth, heaven on earth, heaven on earth. What are we to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. So now I have a hope. I don't see it yet. Now I've seen pieces of it, but I ain't seen near what I have in my heart. So I can't quit until all of that comes out. So Abraham's doing the same thing here. He wants a kid. He wants a child. He has no kids. His wife is barren. And so God names him father of many nations. Most people call that crazy. But not with God, because nothing's impossible with God. Now, you got to remember, this is a guy who has like 300 plus servants or employees, as we would say today. He's got a whole bunch of animals. He's got gold. He's got silver. He's got a bunch of tents. He's got a big spread, okay? He's got many sections if you're a rancher or a farmer. He has plenty of space and everything, and they've called him Abram for years. And now he goes and says, no, call me Abraham. Now, names today don't mean as much as they did then, okay? So these people know he's changing his name from Abram, which doesn't mean anything, to Abraham, father of many nations. They all know he doesn't have a kid. Can you imagine how awkward that conversation was? Now, boys, you need to start calling me Abraham. And some of them are going, Father of many nations, what is wrong with this guy? Who are we working for? In other words, it looks crazy because it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. But the scripture and God speaking to you, it doesn't make sense. It makes faith. It has to bypass your mind and come out of your heart. All you need to do is just get your mind to agree with your heart. And you can control your mind. It's your mind. God gave it to you. It's yours. I don't let anybody else control my mind. It's my mind. And so what Abraham did is he aligned his life with God, and then he had his people align their lives with that same promise. And this is the process of faith that begins to take place. Okay. So God gives life to the dead. So in other words, Abraham's going to become the father of many nations. Abraham decided to believe and speak the same thing about himself as God did. So what does God say about you? You are beloved. You are his loved child. You are precious in his sight. But do you say that about you? You are his prized possession. But do you say that about you? You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But do you say that about you? You greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But do you say that about you? Or do you allow this world and the world system and the numbskulls around you? That's numbskull is a technical term. Okay? In the Greek, it means numbskull. Or do you allow the media, the politicians, your symptoms, your trials to define what you say about you? If you're going to be victorious, you got to shift. If you're going to walk with God close, you got to shift. It's not that God's ever going to reject you if you disobey this principle. It's just that he desires and loves you so much that he desires above anything that you follow his principles, so that when you do, you walk close with him and you have the manifestation of his life in your life. You have the substance of God in more than just a ticket to heaven. You have the substance of God in your house. You have it in your car. You have it in your finances. You have it in your mind. You have it in your body. You have the substance of God operating in your life. And that's what Abraham began to do. He began this process of faith, and we are his children according to the scriptures. We must do the same thing in our lives. Find out what God said over us and believe and speak that same word. Believe and speak the same thing that God said about you. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I always know what to do. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was given to me. And the Holy Spirit not only teaches me things, current things, but he reminds me of things that Jesus said to me, and he shows me things to come. Now, if you want that to work in your life, you have to cooperate with it. You have to get into that place of cooperating with the Lord on it. Verse 18, for Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations as he had been promised. So numberless shall your descendants be. Abraham had no evidence in the natural or from a human standpoint that he would have a child. We should not put our hope or expectation in anything in this world. In people or things, they will let you down. On the contrary, we should put great expectation in God and his promises. When you have faith, there is no such thing as a hopeless situation. It does not exist. There's no such thing as a hopeless situation when you have faith. There's no such thing. I'm talking about for you personally. It doesn't exist. Why? Because I have faith in my God. How big is God? He holds it all in the palm of his hand. He holds it all. Everything in the natural can scream at you that there is no way you are going to get out of this one, but this is where we expect or hope in faith. How am I going to get out of my situation? What does the scripture say about it? Where, that's where you have to start. Why? Because where does faith come from? From the Word, right? And if faith comes from the Word, how are you going to get faith for your situation? You've got to look to the Word concerning that situation. And as you do, then faith comes. And when faith comes, then you have something that rises in your heart. We, you know, people don't realize they do this, but they do it. If you want to know what's in you, just get in a pressure situation. You know what I mean? Find out. Just get in a pressure situation. Have somebody squeeze you on all sides. Have situations start piling down on you. And people go, well, I don't want that to happen. You're on the planet. It's gonna happen. You're gonna have stuff. That's just the nature of being here. And what takes place is things will come out of you and you'll go, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Why did you say what you said in that pressure situation? Because it be in you. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of a sprinkler when it's hooked up to a hose and it's turned on? Water, because there's water in the hose. The sprinkler doesn't come up with its own water. So whatever you put in you, you will sprinkle. You'll let it out. Okay? That's why you want to be full of the Word. That's why you want to be full of the promise. So that when something happens, you're not cussing at the driver in front of you. You're going, in the name of Jesus. Okay? Make sense? If windshields had recording devices in them. True faith will not even consider anything but what the Lord and what He said to you. That's where faith rests. It won't even consider anything. It's not that you don't have feelings. It's not that you don't have emotions. It's not that you don't have thoughts. But out of all those things, you have to choose the Word of the Lord. Does that make sense? And your thoughts, emotions, and feelings will catch up with God's Word. Okay? They'll catch up with it. Hebrews 11:6 says this, so you see, it is impossible to please God without faith. Wow, that is a huge statement. That is a huge statement. Anyone who wants to come to Him, this is the New Living Translation, must believe that there is a God and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. So you have to believe that He is and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Now, most people have no problem sincerely seeking Him. They have a problem believing He rewards. Most people have no problem believing there's a God. They have a problem that He rewards. My God, I believe God rewards. I believe He rewards me. Now people look at, they think about that, you don't deserve any, well, we're under a covenant of grace. And He rewards faith. He rewards those who diligently seek it, but you have to believe that reward's happening. So in other words, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It's not hard. It's impossible. But how does faith come? By hearing and hearing the Word of God. So is there any excuse for us not to have faith? Nope. Faith is stopped when we stop it. Like if we harden our heart to the Word of God and we don't accept that Word. Jesus said it to the religious leaders of His day. He said to them, He said, look, My Word has no place in you. In other words, it finds no home in you. And where the Word of God finds no home, there's no faith there. Because it comes by the Word. So, believing in the unseen, I love this. This is faith. Believing in the unseen, unfelt, invisible God and His promises is what pleases our God. It pleases God to stand in the face of completely contrary circumstances to His promises and declare that the Word of the Lord is coming to pass anyway. I mean, this is soldier material, you know what I mean? This is disciple material. This isn't like, oh, you know I'm going to go to heaven when I die. This is where we get down into the meat of the Word of God, where you are now becoming stalwart in your faith, strong in your faith, to the point that you're not just looking for somebody else to do your praying for you. Now you're looking for someone to pray for. Does that make sense? You're not even thinking necessarily or overly concerned about the problems that you're facing. You're using your faith for someone else in accordance with your faith for you. When you get to that point, that is strong faith. When you stand up in the middle of a situation that looks like there's no way that God's word is in the natural looking like it's coming to pass, and you stand there and go, "It shall be as the Lord said." When you're in that place, you're strong. And you're not resting, your faith is not resting on anything but the word of God. And in that place, see, this is where Abraham was. What other choice did he have? You know, even if you wanted to have kids today and you were 100 and your wife was 90, the doctors can't help you except through adoption. And even then, they would stop you. So what do you have to do? You have to believe God. You know, sometimes people think, you know, they're constantly trying to get out of trials, when in all reality, it's an opportunity to believe God and grow. You're saying God caused it. No, I'm saying you're on the planet. You're here. So how will the marriage improve? You got to get in the Word. You got to start doing what the Word says. Well, they're not doing their part. Just do yours. Just do yours. God will take care of the rest. You know, God has a persuader. Did you know that? I have a persuader with my kids. It was wooden. It looked like a spoon. Oh, it was one. Still have it. What is that? It's a persuader. You may not realize it, but when you're in obedience, the Holy Ghost is dealing with the other person. It is happening. Now, I could go down a whole rabbit trail here, and I'm not gonna. But what you want to do is make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do. If all your prayer time in a rough situation is about what the other person is supposed to do, you're missing it. Okay? When I'm in a situation, and I've been in a few, it's interesting because you think you get in the church world that some of the stuff that happens in the secular world wouldn't happen. It happens all the same. It just happens all the same. It's just no different. People are people everywhere. And when I go to prayer about situations, after a while I learned, I'd go to the Lord and go, "Okay, Lord, this situation is not right, but where do I need to change? If there's anything I need to change, show me. I want to know. I want to see." And if you approach it from that perspective, it'll be much better off for you. Does that make sense? Okay. So, true faith does this. In the midst of contrary circumstances, it'll stand up and say, God's word's coming to pass. Faith is not a rational way of living, but neither is it a fantasy way of living. Okay? To the natural mind, faith doesn't always make sense. But it's not a fantasy way of living either, because I don't know about you. I know you have. I know many of you have. You've seen your faith work over and over again in your life. And sometimes you just need to go back and recount all those times. And just look back over them and go, "I remember when God met me here, and it didn't look like we were going to make it, but we made it here. And then it looked like this was going to happen, but we made it through. And God passed us through this sea and that sea. And then we walked around those Jericho walls and shouted. And by the time we were done on the seventh day," sure, it took 7 days, but on the seventh day they fell. You got to remind yourself of those things. Why? Because it'll encourage your faith. Okay, so verse 19. Living by faith is allowing the Word of God to inspire you to great things and then allowing the Holy Spirit to direct you down the paths that lead to that place. Living by faith is allowing the Word of God to inspire you to great things and then allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you down those paths that lead to that place. That's what living by faith is. Verse 19, he says this, he did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was about 100, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness or deadness of Sarah's womb. Just because the natural circumstances look hopeless does not mean that you have to be weakened in your faith. If your faith rises and falls, if your expectation of God rises and falls with how the circumstance is going, then you're not in faith. Come on. I know that's exciting, isn't it? But I'm not looking at weak people. I'm looking at strong people. If your faith, if the Lord told you about something, you see a promise in the Word of God, and it doesn't look like it has changed, it looks like, man, it's worse than it was before. If you're moved, that's the degree that you're allowing your circumstances to dictate what you believe rather than what God said to you. Make sense? Like some people will stand in faith about things for a couple of weeks, and then they lose it. Now, the nice thing about God is you can just go pick it back up. But it reveals to you, I'll put it to you like this. You know, at the judgment seat, it talks about that what we do in this life will be tried by fire. Okay? Trials put fire to your faith. They put fire to the substance that's in you. I'm not saying God causes them. They test you. They test you. And what they're after is they want you to release the word that is given to you. Because the word of God, you know, we're not that special in and of ourselves in the sense of the enemy's not so impressed with us naturally. He doesn't want the word of God to have effect. He wants to stop it. Why? Because Jesus and the rest of the apostles and those that are walking by faith strong are ruining his day every day. They're just ruining. And the more people that obey the word of God, the more light there is in this planet. So it's not so much that it's just about us in the natural. It's about that word being stopped. He doesn't want that word to come. He did not want Abraham to have a child when he couldn't. Why? Because it gives testimony to God about for other people to follow and go, oh, he did it. I know that guy. He ain't that special. I can do that. I can believe God. That's what we're supposed to be to other people, like a breath of fresh air. You know what I mean? Spiritually speaking, we're supposed to be, have you ever watched a marathon or a long, what are those long bike races and all that stuff? What are they called? Triathlon, all that stuff. Every so often, what do they have on the sidelines? A guy standing there with what? That's supposed to be you. When you're not racing, you're supposed to have something going, you'll make it. It's a hill, you'll make it. And you're handing out this expectation. This expectation. When it comes to healing, it's the same thing. You see the promise, you declare the promise, you don't let go of it. And when everything feels like it's not going to work, that's when you shout the most. That's when you shout the most. Make the enemy listen to you. Don't just sit and listen to him all day. Turn off Oprah. She ain't got nothing good to say anyway. Or any of them, for that matter. It's just nonsense. You don't care who's dating who or who's marrying who. Who cares? And there is nothing worth following in Hollywood. I'll just tell you that right now. Nothing. Nothing at all. You know, I'll read news articles on Facebook or whatever, these different news articles. And somebody will ask a question about a particular Hollywood actor. And today I just wrote in the comments under one of them, I would never follow anyone in Hollywood, and nor would I promote anybody to follow anybody in Hollywood. They will never direct my life. Oh, but they might be a Christian. Oh, goody. What does that matter to me? You know what I mean? What? I would never allow that. Why? None of that's going to help you. It's not going to put anything in you. People wonder why they're depressed after they read People magazine. Throw the thing in the garbage. You don't care what marriage they're on. You know, they've been married 5 years. Big deal. I know that's a long time in Hollywood. But that's not impressive. Well, this is their opinion on this. You do not want to listen to them. Abraham did not consider his problem, he considered the promise. Just because your natural circumstance looks hopeless does not mean that you have to be weak in your faith. Remaining in faith is a choice. We see this clearly right here. Abraham's circumstances are yelling at him. I'm sure he is having all sorts of thoughts and feelings contrary to the promise of God, but he chooses to be strong in faith toward the Lord instead of allowing all these contrary voices, feelings, and circumstances to put him into doubting his God. Truly walking in faith seems ridiculous and foolish to the world and to the carnal, natural ruled and carnal and naturally ruled Christians. When somebody looks at you and they say things like, you know, like I have a pastor friend of mine who started a church, I think like 6 months after we did, here in town, and he's talked to some banks about getting a building because they rent a facility, and he's talked to some banks, and of course we talk to the banks, they don't want to play, you know what I mean? Because they've been burned by too many Christians, too many churches. You know, one banker looked at me and said, well, if you had 50% down, I said, if I got 50% down, what do I need you for? I just said it right to him because it irritated me. I was walking in love, mostly, kind of. You know, I'm like, if I have 50% of the money, what do I need you for? I don't need you. I'll just give the Wesleyan Church 50% of the money and tell them I'll pay the rest. They'll take it. You know, they'll take $115,000 cash. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I could work a deal. You know? And so we're talking about this. And if you look, and I had another minister friend of mine telling me what they did. They saved money for, you know, yeah. Until they had this huge amount of money. And even then, the banks were kind of hesitant on some things. Well, I knew God didn't want me to do that. You eventually just have to look at the promise and go, God, against all hope, I hope in faith. I don't care what my relatives say. I don't care what my family members say. I don't care what people say around me. You said this, I hope in faith. What does that mean? I expect that you are going to do what you said you would do in my life, and I'm going to see it come to pass. And people are going to come and people are going to go. And people are going to love you and people are going to hate you. And people are going to laugh at you and they're going to mock you for, oh, you think you're the father of many nations. I don't think it, buddy. I know it. Do you see, it has to be in you so strong that you can look in the face of opposition that comes to you, because it will come. And you have to have that promise so owned in you that you go, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if people tell me I can't have what God promised me because I'm this far along in my age in life and I'm only expected to live this much longer. I will have every bit of God that I can drain and faith out until the day I die. Does that make sense? And if you're going to have that kind of, in order to, that is what faith is. I have one thing happening in my life. His promises to me. His word, what he said to me, what he's quickened to me in his word. I will not let the depression of the past, the weights of the past, what my life experience has been up until this point, dictate to me what I can have from God. It will not. And I feel it as much as you do. I feel it as, no preacher, I'm not immune. The anointing comes on me special here, but that's it. Rarely other places. I have to stand. I did it today, driving home in the truck. I get off of work. Do you think I ever feel like coming to preach to you after I get off work? No. My mind goes, you could sit down and watch TV. My body talks to me. Sean, just skip. You go to bed early. This is your flesh will talk to you. This is your flesh, right? I get off work because I work construction. I work physical. And I'm the superintendent, so I'm dealing with all these different things, okay? And my mind, your body, you get off work, and your natural self, I get off work, and I'm like, Lord, you know, your body goes, this isn't fair. You shouldn't have to go do this. You know what I did on the way home today from work? Glory to God. I just hit my truck. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His. My body will do exactly what I tell it to do. Because it doesn't control me. I control it. You know, I'm never disappointed at the end of the service. I never am. Do you know how many people let sleep dictate to them what they do? Do you know why? Because you're spiritually weak. It's because you're spiritually weak. You've got to, when you're strong, I'm not talking like you can't, like you can live without sleep. I'm not saying that. But when you control you, you control everything about you. Because you're not just a body, you're a spirit. You're on the inside. You're just looking through these windows called eyes. You know, people are like, have you seen my mind? Well, you may be able to take an x-ray of my brain, but you cannot see my mind. My mind is in my soul. My soul, the brain is just a physical organ that my mind functions through. Does that make sense? So everything about me that you see in the natural, it's going to go back to dust. It's a pile of dirt. That's all it is. All this thing is good for, and Paul said it, is to make a slave to righteousness. I no longer am a slave to wickedness. I'm no longer a slave to the deeds and desires of the flesh. I'm no longer a slave to lewdness and impurity and unholiness and all those things. I'm now a slave to righteousness. What does that mean? No matter what my body feels, I will act out my Christian faith, the reality of who I am in Christ through this body, through this temple, to the world around me, in the circumstances that I'm in. So when I'm driving home, instead of going, I don't feel like it, oh God, why? And I feel those things, and they're close to your tongue. You know, you can feel them there, and you got to grab them and stop them. And you have to go, no, glory to God. His word's working. His word's working. It's working in my mind. It's working in my body. It's working in my family. It's working in the church. It's working in every area. I'm going to praise. I'm going to give you the sacrifice of praise right now. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it by faith. You know what God does? Look at this, guys. Look. That's faith. All right, let's move. And angels go to work. Some people, man, Christians, some of the things that come, I have a pastor friend of mine, he's always talking about how afraid he is. And I'm going, you better knock that off. He's scared of this and scared of that and scared of the other thing. Fear will totally constrict you. And here, if you're a minister, it'll constrict the gift in you. And you can't function the way you should because if I'm insecure and I care more about what you think about me than I do the Word of God, then I won't even tell you the truth in love. I'll be too afraid to because you might leave the church. And then what? We'll believe God and somebody else will come. Now, if I'm just a jerk, that's one thing, okay? But Jesus didn't allow crowds to motivate him. He preached a message on eating his flesh and drinking his blood, talking about communion. And 70, well, a ton of people left him. But how many of his disciples? How many disciples were there? It's like 70 disciples left him. And here's Jesus' response. Because the 12 are still with him. He turns around and looks at him and goes, please, guys, don't leave. What will I do if you leave too? No, that's not in the Bible. He turned around and looked at him and said, are you going to go too? You going to go too? Go. Peter, in this case, opened his mouth and the right thing came out. Yeah, he did not open mouth, insert foot on this one. He said, who else has the words of life? Bingo. See, God God will allow you to be put in positions where you have to choose. He will. He'll do it. You'll have to choose. Do I care more? Do I believe what the Word of God says on this? Or am I going to go with all these peers around me? Because I'm going to look really stupid if I don't say the same thing they do. It's a test. It's an opportunity to choose. And your faith will either be strengthened or weakened in that moment. Well, that's what's happening right here. The same thing with Abraham. He's looking at it going, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to believe God. I'm Abraham. You don't have any kids. I'm Abraham. You're childless. I'm Abraham. Hi, I'm Abraham. Good to meet you, Abraham. Abraham, they're going, where are your kids? Father of many nations, where are the kids? Abraham is my name. Abraham, I'm Abraham. Good to meet you. Who is that guy? That's Abraham. He thinks he heard from God. This is what happens. I know. I've been the butt end of this joke. Many times. Oh, that's Sean. Some people, like I have friends from high school on Facebook with me. Some of them message me on, because I'm always posting scriptures and stuff. Some of them, I think, unfollow me. Some of them have mocked me. Had one mock me. You think I care? Now, I appreciate the ones that are like, it really seems like you have a genuine relationship with the Lord, Sean. I really appreciate all the stuff you post. Oh, thanks. Some of them have mocked me. Listen, we all gonna die. Everybody is gonna stand before God. And you know what's gonna be my testimony for me? Well done, Sean. Come on in. Now, I don't want any hurt to anybody else, but if they make that decision, see, I'm very aware that we only get so much time on this thing. I know the world has a whole lot of things and the devil's worked a whole lot of distractions into the earth, but we only get so many heartbeats. We only get so many draws of oxygen. And then it's over. And then we go into eternity. And that's forever. I'm going to do everything I can in faith that the Lord leads me to do to make sure that I get in and God doesn't look at me and go, well, He says, well done. You say, yeah, but, I've already made these mistakes. Listen, I've made mistakes, but Paul said it best. Forgetting the things that are behind, I press on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, you're not Abraham. I'm Abraham. I'm His child. I'm a child of faith. I'm going to do it. Why? Because the Lord said I could, and I have to make that decision to cooperate with Him. And that's what faith is. Faith is you making the decision to say what He said about you. In the area of healing, in the area of any area, it doesn't make a difference. If He says to you, I am the Lord your physician, you walk around all day going, the Lord is my physician, the Lord is my physician, the Lord is my physician, He is my physician. Jesus, what is your prescription today? And He'll say, joy is your strength. And then you go, I don't feel like it. And you just grab some duct tape and you just duct tape them back, stick them up. And people look at you weird and you go, I got joy. It takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. You know what I mean? Well, it's the middle of the week and I just don't feel it. You got to get off your feelings and get on faith. If you want your circumstance to change, there has to be a change in you. I could lay hands on you till you're bald. Yeah, or we could lay hands on you till your hair grows back. I don't care. But either way, at some point, you have to take responsibility for you. That's the way it works. I can't get saved for you, and I can't make you make the right decisions. I can just give you what Jesus said. And in this illustration of Abraham, we'll go into it again next week, but in this illustration of Abraham, faith is happening. I'm going to wrap it up here with, where did I put my other, I put it under here. Some quotes from this chapter on appropriating faith that I got out of Christ the Healer. And we'll wrap it up with this. I don't think I'm going to go into that. I got too many notes, but I'm always believing God for the right thing to say. God's way of doing everything is by making promises and then by fulfilling them wherever they produce faith. Isn't that good? God's way of doing everything is by making promises and then by fulfilling them wherever they produce faith. That's how He does things. He fulfills them wherever they produce. You say, how do they produce faith? You take them and let them grow. Abraham simply believed the word of God. He had faith that God would do exactly as He promised. He was fully persuaded by the word of God alone. He held fast the beginning of his confidence when his faith was tested. He was wholly occupied with the word of God in the matter. I love that. Wholly occupied with the word of God in the matter. So in the middle of your matter, in the middle of your situation, are you wholly occupied with the word of God in that matter? And when you're wholly occupied with the word of God in that matter, other people's misery doesn't become yours because you're too full of joy. Because you're drawing off the wells of salvation. You're not drawing off the natural wells of the earth. The natural cesspools of the earth are not your source. The source is God in you and the Holy Spirit. I love this. Under utterly hopeless circumstances, by looking unto the promise of God, talking about Abraham, it says he waxed strong in faith, being fully persuaded or absolutely certain that God would fulfill his promise. It was by looking under the promise of God that Abraham became strong in faith. When coming to God for healing, be sure that this shall be your attitude, because there is no healing promised except on this condition. In other words, you have to look to the Word of God wholly. Look to it wholly. To the extent that we base our faith on improvement or are affected by our symptoms, this is talking specifically about healing, or by what we see or feel instead of by the Word of God alone, just to that extent, ours is not real faith. Boy, I love that. You know, this stuff is not taught today. Not much. You know why? Because most people go, they choke on it. They can't handle it. They can't, because it challenges you outside your comfort zone. It challenges you outside of your comfort zone. He says this. It was by continuing to look under the promise of God that Abraham experienced the miracle. To be occupied with symptoms and influenced by them instead of God's word is to question the veracity of God. Instead of making God a liar, Jonah, remember Jonah and the whale? Everybody been to Sunday school? From within the fish, gave the name lying vanities to the symptoms and circumstances which seemed to stand in the way of his expecting God's mercy. I watched a teacher at school do this. He'd show up with a sore throat one day, and he said, this is just a lying vanity, and he'd struggle through the class. The next day, he was fine. More than once, I saw him do this, and I'm going, oh, there's something here. It's just a lying vanity. It's just a lying vanity. Why? How do you know? Because it's contrary to what God said to me. It's a lie. Come on. Come on. You know... It's rising. This is going to take me a little bit to get through this. But that's okay. That's all right. If you're going to be strong, this is where it gets down to it. Yep. You know, people want a glory cloud to follow them around all day and then feel the presence of God all day. But that doesn't take no faith. It doesn't take faith. I will, sure, when the feeling of God, when the presence of God is strong, I love the feelings. I get in all in the feelings, but I don't live by feelings. I live by faith. I've watched too many Pentecostals. I've watched too many church people fall to pieces and their life become ruins because they live and die on feelings. You cannot do it. You will not survive. You have to have faith. You have to. Real faith thrives on a test. Wow. Don't you love it? I love it. I love it. What's another good one here? Oh, here we go. It is never proper or reasonable to cast away your confidence as long as you have the Word of God as its basis. I think I posted that last night or the other night. It's never. People go, well, how do you know you're going to make it? Word of God said so. And they don't know. I mean, some people just don't know. Well, come on. This is the other thing that'll happen. This is the other thing that people will say. Well, now, come on. We got to use wisdom. How much more wisdom are you going to find than believing God? At what level? Now, when people are telling you this, what people are doing is they're saying, you know, you got to put, and you never want to do this, put all your trust in the natural systems. Because we have scientists, and we have these things, and we have these groups, and we know that this is how things work, and this is how they operate. Listen, how many times has natural systems or man let you down? Come on. I mean, over and over and over and over and over again. Now, here's the catcher in all of it. You have to be led by the Lord. You have to. And in that process of learning to trust Him and have faith, you'll know exactly what to do. You'll know exactly what to do. To faith, I love this, I'll leave you with this. The Word of God is the voice of God. To faith, the Word of God is the voice of God. So what does the Word of God say in the situation? That's what you grab onto. That's what you believe. That's what you declare. And as you do that, what takes place is God begins to move in your circumstances because He operates. He gives a word. He gives a promise. He looks for somebody to respond in faith to that, to begin the operation of faith in speaking what He said about the situation. And then He can go to work. It's not that He doesn't want to prior to that. The want to on God's part is not the issue. It's the obedience on our part. Always. I was talking to my neighbor yesterday, and we were talking about some different things, and we were just talking about relationship with God, and she was talking about how she's grown in the Lord over the years and different things, and it was a good conversation. And somehow we got over into people will blame God for stuff. You know, it's super dangerous to blame your only source of help. It's dangerous. And listen to me. Everybody has felt it. I've felt it. Well, God, I've served you this long. Which, you know, in reality is a super arrogant statement. Because you have heartbeats because of Him. You're only serving Him because He gives you the ability and you're open to do it. You understand that? Without that, I've had that thought, I've had that feeling, I've been in that place of frustration where I was talking to God about things, and on my part, it's just dumb. I'll say it for me, okay? I'll be the scapegoat. It's just dumb. That's dumb. Because what you're saying, you're creating tension between the one who is perfect. I said this to this couple. I said, look, I figured it out a while ago. The only problem in my relationship with God is me. He's perfect. He is a perfect partner in this relationship. I'm not. And if I live in that place of humility, that's a place of faith, I'm sitting good because the Lord will help me. So keep it in mind. God's not your problem. He's your solution. Say what He says about you. Believe God in spite of your situation. Use faith. Operate in faith. Practice what you are being taught. Use it daily. When you wake up with purpose in the morning to go, okay, God, I'm going to use my faith today. And if you mess up, do yourself a favor. Lord, that was wrong. I didn't mean to do that. I got in the flesh. Whatever you want to say, I forget about that. Now I'm going to do it right on this one. Does that make sense? I mean, I live this way. That's you have to. And faith will work for you. It'll work. It'll work. God's faithful. It'll work. The promises are working now. All right, we better say some stuff. You guys need to wake up a little bit anyway. I know you're listening good. I'm teasing you. Let's say some stuff and then we'll go. You can repeat after me. Whew, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. Why don't you stand up? That'll help you. We'll do it this way. Say, I expect that the promises of God are coming to pass in my life. I purposely resist, ignore what's in front of me, what the enemy has said to me, what other people have said to me. And I believe, based on the Word of God and nothing else, that it is coming to pass in my life just as God said. It will be that way. I stand in faith. And when I've done all I can to stand, I stand immovable off the Word of God. It is working. Angels are working on my behalf, causing things to work out for my good and God's glory. In the name of Jesus. Now, here, let's just do this. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, how many notice a difference inside you when you do that? You can do that anytime, any place. It's up to you. You know what I mean? And your situation is shifting, Jennifer. It is shifting. I saw it when we were talking, or when we were praying just now. It's shifting. Because you addressed it in the Spirit, it's shifting. So, it'll happen. We're going to have a great testimony. This will be great. I'm going to have you share a testimony. We're going to have testimonies. Lots of testimonies. Lots of them. Just oodles and oodles and oodles of testimonies. Just, you know? I mean, you don't quit now. You've come this far already. Why quit? I mean, you made the shift. Just put your foot on the right pedal and push down as hard as you can in faith. Just shove it to the floor. And we'll all make the enemy eat it. Not just the preacher. The preacher will too, I'll bet you that. But we all will. We'll be days carrying out the spoil, carrying out the treasures. Why? Because he said so. I don't need nothing else. That's enough. Amen? God bless you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.